Chapter 2, entitled Contents of the Gita Summarize, text 52.
Yada te moha kariram budhir vyatita visyati tadaganta sinirvedam srutavyasya srutasya cha. Yada,
yada.
When?
When?
Te. Illusion.
Of illusion.
Kalilam. Dense forest. Buddhi. Transcendental service with intelligence. Yatitarisyati. Surpasses. Tada. At that time. Gantashi. You shall go. Nirvedam, callousness, srutavyasya, toward all that is to be heard, shrutasya, all that is already heard, cha, also. Translation. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Purport. There are many good examples in the lives of the great devotees of the Lord, of those who became indifferent to the rituals of the Vedas simply by devotional service to the Lord. When a person effectually understands Krishna and his relationship with Krishna, he naturally becomes completely indifferent to the rituals of fruitive activities. Even though an experienced Brahmana, Srimadavendra Puri, a great devotee and acharya in the line of the devotees, says, Sanja Vandana Padram Astubhavatu Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo Bodeva Pitaras Chatarpana Vidu Naham Ksamuk Samyatam Yatakva Pini Sadhyaya Yadava Kuruto Masya Kamsadrisa Smaram, smaram, agam, harami, tadalam, manyakim, anyena me. O my prayers, three times a day, all glory to you. O bathing, I offer my obeisances to you. O demigods, O forefathers, please excuse me for my inability to offer you my respects. Now, wherever I sit, I can remember the great descendant of the Yadu dynasty, Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, and therefore, and thereby, I can free myself from all sinful bondage. I think this is sufficient for me. The Vedic rites and rituals are imperative for neophytes. Comprehending all kinds of prayers three times a day, taking a bath early in the morning, offering respects to the forefathers, etc. But when one is fully in Krishna consciousness and is engaged in transcendental loving service, one becomes indifferent to all these regulative principles, because he has already attained perfection. If one can reach the platform of understanding by service to the Supreme Lord Krishna, he has no longer to execute different types of penances and sacrifices as recommended in the revealed scripture. And similarly, if one has not understood that the purpose of the Vedas is to reach Krishna and simply engage in the rituals, etc., then he is uselessly wasting time in such engagement. Persons in Krishna consciousness transcend the limit of Sabda Brahma, or the range of the Vedas and the Upanishads. Om Agya Jnanatimrandasya Virandanaspakaya Chakshurnitanyana Tasmai Sigurve Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangam Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamam Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Nisvaram Paramananda Madhavam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So the Vedic system offers us Varna Ashram, and in Varna Ashram there are many prescribed duties, duties of varna or duties of occupation, and duties of ashram, the various stages of life, such as brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. The prescribed duties aim to bring a person gradually to the mode of goodness so that he becomes more favorable towards pious activities and gradually becomes purified. So many sinful activities are there from so many lifetimes, and all the reactions are stored within our heart. Aparapta phalam pam kutam phalam patam mukam kramaneva pradiyata vishnu bhaktiya tatmanam. The Vishnu Purana is pointing out that sinful reactions in the form of seeds are stored within the heart from unlimited lifetimes, and these sinful seeds create a sinful inclination. So we are all familiar with the sinful inclination. The sinful inclination is indeed a problem in us. It creates that inner fight, so to speak, you know, where we know Krishna consciousness is the right thing, but the mind is pestering us. Therefore, purification is required. Varna Ashram helps us to regulate our lives, and therefore we see that also in Krishna consciousness we accept the duties of Varna Ashram. We take shelter of Varna Ashram, certain goal. I remember someone who lived in a bachelor flat, a real bachelor flat, a flat very small, one room and a bathroom and some chairs, and every chair full with books and things, typically the way one lives when one is a bachelor. So one day I told him, why don't you choose an ashram? You need an ashram, you need a shelter, because without a shelter, without a code of behavior, without a system of conduct, it will be very difficult. The ashram is telling us how we should, is giving us so many duties, so many things to do in Varna Ashram. So in this way, in Varna Ashram, we are becoming purified externally. But devotional service is different. Devotional service is awakening our love for Krishna. And that is really the essence. When one's love for Krishna is awakening, what is a question of sinful activity? Where is a question of any interest to act against Krishna's will or his desire? Whatever is not pleasing to Krishna, one couldn't do it. So loving Krishna
is our real interest, and devotional service is awakening that. But because we cannot, because our mind is wild, because our senses are out of control, therefore we also have Varnashram to sort of keep us in a regular program, which is controlled, and then from there we can engage in devotional service. But Varnashram in itself, we have no interest. And Varnashram are to be seen like crutches. We use them, crutches, when we can't walk properly, when we became injured. Then, your own crutches, what happened? Borrow soap. Anyway, there we go. On crutches. But no one who is healthy, like, unless, you know, it's a professional business interest, but normally we don't walk on crutches when we are healthy. So in the same way, when our love for Krishna is there, then we do not require the crutches of Varna Ashram or of Vedic culture. Then automatically we'll just act for Krishna's pleasure, and we'll just take on Krishna's mission, and automatically we are interested in delivering the whole world from sinful activities. And because, after all, sinful activities are activities that are destructive. Destructive to others, destructive to ourselves. Such activities are sinful, destructive activities. Activities that bind us in lust, greed, anger, madness, illusion, and envy. So these kind of activities are classified as sinful activities. A devotee has no interest in them, naturally. So in this way, we are not worried. Therefore, then the whole complexity of the Vedas and all the intricate ritual is also not becoming so important anymore. The essence is Krishna. Therefore, in our deity worship, the essence is, Prabhupada said, three things: cleanliness, punctuality, and simplicity. So interesting that simplicity is also there. And no need for too much complexity. I can do myself. Therefore, our interest is especially in spreading the loving service of Krishna everywhere in the world. That is our activity, to somehow or other ourselves engage in serving Krishna and inviting others. Not hollow propaganda, not just make Facebook pages and websites and so many things, but ourselves, hollow. No devotional practices, no. That is not successful. No, we must worship Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Bodo Krishna, Goro Krishna, Sika. Worship Krishna, then chant his name everywhere, and then follow his instructions. this is our idea. We get absorbed, we worship Krishna ourselves, and then we invite others. We tell others about Krishna. But it is hand in hand. Otherwise, that love for Krishna cannot develop. In the 8th chapter, there is the verse Aham Sarasya Prabhu Matasavam Pravartate Ita Iti Matapajantivam Pudavava Sanam Yutaha. Yeah, there it is explained that in the 8th chapter that Krishna says, I am the origin of everything. I'm everything material, everything spiritual. And then he's saying that the wise who know this perfectly, they worship me with love. So that's interesting. So the wise who know perfectly that Krishna is the origin of everything, they worship him with love. It is explained. They see how everything is a perfect arrangement. They see that whatever is manifest is Krishna. Krishna in the beginning of Bhagavatam is described as Param Satyam, the absolute truth. So, Jamadiyasi Yataha. In the Vedanta Sutra it is said, Jamadiyasi Yataha, and it's repeated in Bhagavatam, that he is the origin of everything. It has to be, because the absolute truth must include everything. That is the nature. The absolute truth is a truth that applies to everything, must include everything. That's Krishna. So, therefore, everything is Krishna's energy. And we see all these energies of Krishna. The internal energy is the spiritual world and its spiritual energies. The marginal energy, the living beings. The external energy, the material world. The marginal energy, being the living beings, the marginal energy, being the living beings, is also part of Krishna. Therefore, love for Krishna includes love for all living beings. And Prabhupada explains like that. He says, if you love the body, you automatically love the finger. And therefore, if you love Krishna, you automatically love the whole creation. You love all living beings. So therefore, love of God is not some sort of very, very high kind of state of consciousness. What are you getting from this Krishna consciousness is love of God. Wow, man, really, yeah. I mean, what is love of God? Well, you know, love of God is so high. It is so high. You can practically not understand it. If you don't have it, nobody knows it. So yeah, what it is exactly, nobody knows. But it's very high. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that's not the nature of love of God, no. Because love of God exists certainly on planes that go way beyond our understanding, but love of God also exists here. It also has to do with loving the creation and loving the world and loving all living beings. And yeah. Like the Rig Veda is mentioning a verse, let me look
with loving eyes on the entire creation. Let me look with loving eyes upon all living beings. And then there are a few more things which I forgot. with loving eyes, I said, have to look on the world and on all, and let the world look upon me also with loving eyes. So, yeah, this is the Krishna conscious perspective. Nirmatsaranam, non-envious, loving, appreciating, Oh, it was like that. Prabhupada didn't like noise. He was quite sensitive to noise. Like, for example, when doors would slam, Prabhupada would say that that would break his heart. Like in Mayapur, you know, they had a long building, and it's long, and a lot of doors, right? And then you have these storms called the Kalvaishaki in the months of Vaishak, sort of somewhere at the end of March, beginning of April. And then suddenly you get these enormous storms coming off the Ganga very fast and suddenly. So then all the windows are open and doors are loose, just like today, because it's hot, and then it's like just banging in. Like, Prabhupada didn't like banging doors. Breaks my heart. But even when Prabhupada was not well and they had kirtan, then, you know, someone said, oh, we'll tell them to stop the kirtan. Prabhupada said, no, that's nice. That's not noise. That's nice. That's kirtan. Yeah. That's kirtan. Yes. That's good. So that's spirit, right? Of putting the glorification of kirtan before the glorification of Krishna before everything. That can only be out of love. You see? Only out of love. If we are not really loving Krishna, then, you know, there are times when we want to sleep and the kirtan's going on, that we hate kirtan. Flame kirtan, so much noise. Can't they stop? The mind might think, because now I am sleepy. It's just like, you know, some drummers, they love to bang a drum, but when they're sleeping, you go in their bedroom banging a drum, you know. Hey, you idiot, what are you doing? What are you doing here banging a drum? But Prabhupada, he was seeing with loving eyes. Mukunda, one of the early devotees is describing how Prabhupada was ready to teach Mridanga. Mukunda was a musician, so Mukunda was ready to go. And, you know, he sort of thought he got it, and Prabhupada said, no, slow and do it properly. And then, like, you know, only after a long time he allowed him to speed up. And then after a while Mukunda was playing, and then as he was playing, suddenly he saw Prabhupada with his eyes closed and listening and smiling. And he said, like, gosh, he's enjoying my playing. And Mukunda said, I had many music teachers, but I never had one who was enjoying my playing. Not generally the music teachers are better than the students. Why would they enjoy it? So happy that now Mukunda was also playing this transcendental instrument and becoming expert in glorifying Krishna. Mm.
Ja. Maybe I should just stop concentrating. That could be one solution. Just no editing, just whatever comes out. That's one option. Shut off the mental faculties and let it flow. Well, Krishna is is all auspicious, and devotional service to Krishna is all auspicious. So it doesn't matter where we begin, right? But we must just take up some devotional service. And then gradually it is that devotional service that will take over our life. And that's been, you know, a little bit, and then a little bit more and more, and then a little bit more, and just increasingly so. So really, that is the essence. The essence is we are seeing here that not only are we becoming indifferent to the rituals of the Vedas, but also to the process of jnana. Or the devotees are certainly interested in philosophy. But still, the essence of that philosophy is very simple. It really is that our aim is to please Krishna and to somehow or other serve Him. And to see that He's the source of everything. He's the source of everything and the purpose of everything. And if one knows that, few other things. You know, we are the eternal servant of Krishna, eternal spirit soul. But it's not so complicated. So we can go into endless details of philosophy, but it's not essential. It's not required. Of course, it can be helpful. It can be helpful. For example, if you know how the faculties of the senses are emanating from Krishna, how the power of the mind is coming, for example, from an expansion of Krishna, Aniruddha, then we know that the power of the mind is just controlled by Krishna. So we cannot even think on our own, we cannot speak on our own, we cannot do anything on our own. So if one knows these things philosophically, it may be helpful to remember Krishna. But the essence is, remember Krishna. So someone who doesn't know all these things, someone who doesn't really know that it's Aniruddha who controls the mind. It's not that like at the gate of the spiritual world, you know, you have to do an exam, you know, and then I ask you this question, you know, who is the controlling deity of the mind? Mind. If you don't mind, I don't really mind. Never mind then. Right. And it's ultimately not the essence. that that we've tried to serve Krishna, but that that philosophical insight can show us how everything is connected to Krishna and offers us an extra protection from the illusory energy. One who is above the illusory energy, he doesn't need to understand. The Vedas are vast, right? Obviously there is so much knowledge, endless detail about so many things. At the beginning of the age of Kali, Vyasadeva, he begins to write down the Vedas, and at the same time he begins to divide them. First there's only one Veda, but then he begins to divide them, and he begins to appoint different sages. Different sages who are in charge of different branches of knowledge. Why? Because in the age of Kali, our brain capacity is just not big enough to comprehend the entire Vedic knowledge. It's just, it's too much for the residents of the age of Kali, for the sages of the age of Kali. So the sages in the age of Kali, therefore, are specializing in branches. And we see different sages were assigned by Vyasadeva to different branches of knowledge and so on. So that's interesting that we can see that that's going on. So if even the sages by Vyasadeva's arrangement were declared to be no longer able to figure it out, what about us who are late starters? You know what I mean? We sort of, for most of us, it's a bit late to learn Sanskrit. And even if he knows some Sanskrit, it's like, it's not like the Goswamis knew it, I mean, if you see like how they were like writing in Sanskrit, how Rupa Goswami is playing with Sanskrit and like the double meaning of words and some verses you can explain. There's three translations you can give for some verses, and they are like each completely different, but all true. And Rupa Goswami knew that that these verses had three different meanings, and he's playing with it. I mean, what can we say? Another level. So, most of us are relatively simple, and that's fine, as long as we focus on Krishna and understand about Krishna. Yeah? So, we may not study all the Vedic literature, but Bhagavatam is explaining us the nature of Krishna. It is important to understand who Krishna is. How he is the Supreme Lord. Not just that he is the Supreme Lord, but how he is the Supreme Lord. And what does it mean? Like, what does it even mean, God, I mean, God. What's God, right? So it is important for us to understand, like, what's kind of part of it, so that our faith can grow deep. But for one who has full faith, they can forget. The residents of Vrindavan, they can forget. They love Krishna, and that he's God, they forget that. They can forget it. They don't need to remember. In that Vrindavan, it is said, in that Vrindavan, the philosophers, they are birds. They're birds in the trees. And the birds in the trees, like, they were great philosophers, and they become like the birds. And they jump from branch to branch. That's what they do. gopis and cowherd boys, they don't bother with such things, you know what I mean? Krishna, Krishna is what matters and nothing else. Anyway, for us, philosophy is important, and we see that Srila Prabhupada gave us mostly philosophy. When he gave a lecture, he gave us philosophy. When it came to pastime, Prabhupada gave some pastime, but not so much, and not very such intimate pastimes. The thrust of Prabhupada's lectures was on philosophy, so that we could thoroughly understand how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In all respects, yes, that he's behind everything. Just like in the Gayatri mantras, we are focusing on the sun. Yeah? And it's like in the first Gayatri mantra, there is like some references to worship of the sun. So, oh my God. Oh no. Are we going back to primitive sun worship? No, it is Surya Narayan. It's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, not the sun. We're not worshipping the sun alone. We're worshipping the Supreme Lord who supplies all that energy. He's the source of that energy. And through that sun, he is the life-giving energy. So we're worshipping the Supreme Lord who is the sustainer of life. And without the sun, there's no life. That's it. Finished. So, the sun. Surya Narayan. So we see everywhere Krishna. And so for now, philosophy is there. For now, Varna Ashram is there. Varna Ashram helps to regulate our activities so that our sinful inclinations are controlled. Philosophy helps us to remember how everything is connected to Krishna, even when we forget him all the time. I mean, I've given these examples of how good we are in forgetting Krishna. I mean, we chant 16 rounds, don't think of Krishna once. Chant 16 rounds, never thought of Krishna once.
You know, I'm talking to that.
You know, not even once. But, things like that. Right? So we are amazingly good in forgetting Krishna. Even in the middle of the Hare Krishna temple, where everything is Krishna, 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 we forget Krishna. What to speak when we are, you know. And maybe in the temple we remember Krishna a bit, you know, sort of, okay, yeah. But as soon as we step out of the gate, Krishna's gone. Yeah? As soon as there's a movie playing, you know. Yeah. Just in the doctor's, in the dentist waiting room yesterday. Oh God. And then this thing started with some mummies, you know. Drooling mummies on some screen. It's really hard, you know. Trying not to watch. Terrible monsters. And then, like, the fight. Again and again, it sucks you in. It's just amazing. The power of it. Video screen, and it's stupid, and you know it's stupid. You're watching it, and you say, this is totally stupid. And still you're watching it. God, oh God. So the power of the material energy, you know, to just help us, to make us forget Krishna, it's like very, very strong. So therefore philosophy helps us to see everything connected with Krishna. So we need it now. So we need all these crutches, the crutches of karma and jnana at this stage. But in the liberated stage, one may be a great philosopher, one may not be. Like Uddhava. Uddhava was a great devotee from Dwarka. And Uddhava was a disciple of Brihaspati. And Brihaspati is the spiritual master of the demigods. So Uddhava was very, very learned. And he was also a great, great loving devotee of Krishna. But he had a bit of a slant towards learning. So always philosophizing. And Krishna sent him to Vrindavan. And then he realized, I'm not a devotee at all. But Uddhava saw Mother Yasoda, and he saw devotees, he realized, you know. And he tried to preach to them, you know, do you know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord? They couldn't even hear it, you know. What are you talking about? Krishna's all-pervading. All-pervading? You know, he's gone to Mathura. We're suffering like anything. Krishna left Vrindavan, you know. He left Vrindavan and you're telling us he's all-pervading. When is he coming back? Please, you know, after you've finished with all that, and Krishna's all pervading, do you have any news of Krishna? Tell us something about Krishna. How is he doing? Is he sometimes thinking of his mother? Like this, you know, they don't care about the jnana. Good jnana. But Uddhava had a bit of that, the opiates of Krishna. So it's interesting, we see. But in the beginning, philosophy is very important because it keeps us on the path. Otherwise, we go here, we go there, we go everywhere. So, in this way. Yadate moha kalilam mudiryate tarisyate tadagantasi nirvedam sutta visya sutasyata. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Only Krishna. That stage, we want to So any questions, any comments?
A few days ago, over here, was fascinated by the fact that everything is in the belly of Krishna.
Yeah, that's
and
very
at
good.
The same time, Krishna is in everything.
Fantastic. I also am fascinated by that. Yeah. Really, all the time. I can't get over it. No, I'm serious. You know, there's this place in Vrindavan called Brahmanda Ghat, and I like to go there. You know, it's some of my favorite places. I go to Brahmanda Ghat. And then Prabhupada also went to Brahmandagat and took part there in Yamuna. And there at Brahmandagat is where Krishna is supposed to play, and then Mother Yasoda looks in his mouth, and she sees the whole universe inside. And he's walking around in the same universe. How does that work, you know? But it is like that, yeah. And that's so important, you know, because then we can understand that, yes, all that's Krishna's energy. Otherwise, you think, well, how is that possible? Yeah. He's the ears playing a flute. How can that all be his end?
But it is.
Yeah, so that's very, very good. One time I'll take you out to Brahmanagat.
Haribo!
We'll go together. I'll get into that story. Yes. Anyone else? I'll let her put you on the spot. It was a good thing, yes.
By my calculation, there's about 6% of the Vedas left.
Okay, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Krishna Samhita says that.
So there's very little left, but still, we asked him if for some reason he did set up these lineages to pursue. Vyasadeva did set up these lineages
yes.
to perpetuate certain branches of the Vedas.
Yeah.
But he must have done it for a reason.
Yeah.
But it seems like we're only 5,000 years into Kali Yuga. There's very little left.
He was preparing the ground for Lord Chaitanya. He was like plowing the field. Yeah. No, he's like, certainly all these branches of the Vedas are preliminary, but Bhagavatam gives us the angle on it, right? It's Srimad Bhagavatam is really the essence of all Vedic literature. Nikama Kalpitara Kalitam Param is the essence of all Vedic literature. Narada condemned Vyasadeva for writing all these different Vedic literatures with so many sacrifices for, well, where different desires can be expressed or attained through a regulated process. And the regulation in the process purifies the living being. You know, he follows some certain regulations, some tapasya, some restrictions. And then in a ritual, you can't do anything you want in the ritual. You follow the restrictions of the ritual, and then the result is that you can purify it. But Vyasadeva Narada condemned it. He condemned it. He said, by all of this, you have just covered over the real goal, the ultimate goal of the Vedas, worship of Krishna. So, all these branches of knowledge are preliminary paths of purification, given to different people on different levels of consciousness so they can connect with something and start some purification. But as the Sankirtan movement is coming in, it is less and less required. We see now that in India, in the north of India, tradition had already gone, by the influence of Nehru and, the modernization in the north started. Yes, after the partition of India, rapidly. But the South remains steeped in tradition. And even today, it is much more traditional than the North. But now, right, all the Brahmanas in the South are becoming computer programmers. And computer language is very close to Sanskrit. Sanskrit. It's the closest, if you know Sanskrit, then. So they all become computer programmers. And those who don't make it, they wind up in a call center. Yeah. Yeah. And, you call any helpline and they connect you to India. So outsourcing, it's cool. Anyway, so... That means Vedic culture going down the drain. The Brahmanas are like becoming computer programmers. Bye bye Vedas. you know. And so it's going down fast. And but maybe this is part of Lord Chaitanya's plan. That now these now it's time. It's time for Lord Chaitanya's movement to take over.
But oh, Swamiji, we have been doing this ritual for so many, many lives, so many generations in my family. Like, how can we stop the ritual? Yes. But, you know, by preaching, we've had a hard time to get people to stop the ritual. But Bollywood is very successful. So in that way, Bollywood works for us. Because we just, you know, Sarvadharmam Parichayamam Vikamsaram Bhaja, just abandon all variety of Dharma. Just surrender unto Krishna. Chant the holy name. That will do. So, in that sense, Jai Bollywood.
Haribol!
But the statement can be made, but it does need a purport. Anyone else?
Maharaj, would Maharaj say Varnashram Dharma is one of the areas in which ISKCON needs a lot of improvement? For one example, I can think of is cow protection and farm refugees, for
example. Yeah, but we have to give shape to it. You know, Varnashram. Prabhupada introduced it, but obviously a lot was not absorbed as yet, you know, into ISKCON. And he said that at the end, that Varnashram had to be instituted. Prabhupada also pointed out that he was especially interested in creating Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. You know, oftentimes nowadays when we talk Varnashram, people immediately go like, I don't know what it is. You know, as soon as you talk Varnashram, there they go, you know. But the truth of the matter is, actually, first, you know, we need to again re-establish the Brahmana, the Brahminical culture and the Kshatriyas. Why? Because they are dedicated to Dharma. They will sacrifice anything for Dharma. Whereas the Vaishya, you know, Dharma, Vaishya understands Dharma. Dharma is a great thing, but if it comes to Dharma or profit, what can you do? You see? Therefore, we first need these very principled people in society who always put principle first, even to their own disadvantage. And then the Vaishya community must be developed. But, you know, cows, yes, we want cows. It's just like, there's that nice verse in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is like, let there be cows behind me, let there be cows in front of me, let there be cows next to me, let there be cows all around me, let there be cows everywhere. That's very nice. Let there be cows. So, is our motto. Yes. Krishna likes the cows. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Tarecha. First the cows, then the Brahmanas. In his liking. He likes the cows. So yes, all these things have to be developed. So we need some heroes who go and live on the farms, right? And just start to do it, and you know. But Prabhupada wanted it seriously, you know, like light lamps of castor oil. I mean, eventually, not rigidly from day one, but eventually no more electricity, completely back to the land. There are people in Assam, there are tribal people, and they have no money. They have a system, there's no money in their system. They just don't use money at all. And they basically don't buy anything. Nothing. Everything is just produced locally. So that's where it is. Somebody fainted when he said that. I appreciate that. Fortunately, you know, there is Yukta Vairagya, and we can buy things for Krishna. Anybody else? Otherwise we stop now. Tune in tomorrow, I think, so nice time to stop. So, okay, yeah.
Does that Maharaj, then it sounds like it's important that we try to establish the local culture?
Yeah.
How would you then go about that, like in practical ways?
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, we have to study the books then, right? So, then we need to study the scripture and live by the scripture. Worship the deity and engage others in worshiping the deity and accept in charity and just give it away very generously wherever it's needed. So all that was needed then. That culture of teaching, and that's the start then, everywhere. And that's what it is, you know, like, I mean, I went to a farm, I lived on a farm, and everyone was talking about cauliflowers all day. You know, and then we have, like, you know, one of the biggest cauliflowers in the entire district, you know. I mean, can you believe it, you know? And, like, the farmers were in ecstasy about that cauliflower, right? We have, like, one of the biggest cauliflowers in the whole district. Well, you know, from my perspective, okay, you know, in the end, we'll take that cauliflower, cut it up, right, turn it into sabji, and me, who doesn't have the big cauliflower, in, you know, I'll take two cauliflowers, cut them up, and make the same sabji, right? I mean, big deal, you know. Big deal when you have one cauliflower or two cauliflowers. I couldn't, like, I can't lose any sleep over the size of the cauliflower, you know. But Vaishyas, their hair stand on end. I mean, the bigger the cauliflower gets, serious, you know. And they can talk about it for hours. Yeah. So we do need on these farms some Brahminical influence, you know. Otherwise, it's the whole day and talking about cauliflowers. Even after a while, it gets a little intense. So I've experienced that. Like, so we want a strong Brahminical influence on our farms. Then it's nice. But we want farms. Absolutely. Nice farms. But, you know, farms cost a lot of money. And therefore, you know, until we've got a lot of money, we may have to just be all packed together in small tendrils. What to do? Here on the Cape, everyone wants a farm. But nobody's got any money. So, no money, no farm. For now. Sorry, guys. Continue tomorrow. Thank you very much.
Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada. Shri Prabhupada.